I'm Pastor Jeremiah, so blessed to be here today. As Pastor Rooney mentioned, we are in a new series called Discipleship Explored. And every September, we kind of go back to look at why Mosaic House is here. Why do we come together every Sunday in house churches? And we are looking at our values. And that basically our ideas or things that we follow in order to be disciples of Jesus. And that's why we're here today. Last week, Pastor Victor came and talked about community, and we do community to belong with Jesus. Next week, we're going to do sent out, as we are sent out into the world to go with Jesus, to share his love to all the world. And today, we're going to look at prayer, which is to meet Jesus. And this all comes from Acts chapter 2, which we did our memory verse today, where Acts 2, verse 42, this is kind of the core of who Mosaic House is. And we did the memory verse today. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. The first disciples of Jesus, the first followers of Jesus, they did this. And today we, in continuation with the first follower of Jesus, we now do the same things today. And today we're going to look at the value of prayer. And we're going to turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and destructive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continuously. In other translations, the pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer. I'm sorry for not always praying as I should or having a passion of prayer. Lord, help us to keep this tool you've given us, this way we can communicate and connect to you close to us. Give us this desire to pray, to know you more and more. So be with us today as we enter into this topic. And be with my words, Lord. May it be yours. May it be for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer. Pray continuously. Pray without ceasing. Has there ever been a time in your life when you prayed all the time? You couldn't help it. You just wanted to pray and pray and pray. Unfortunately for me, most of those times are when I'm in trouble. That's when I have a really good prayer life. This summer, I've had a lot of car troubles, unfortunately. And this is my former car. I miss this car. Oh, it's a Malibu 02. Oh, my goodness, she's a beauty. Hey, beauty is in the beholder, okay? God thinks this is the beautiful, okay? All right? And one time I was going to see my dad with my brother, going to Meeting Creek. You guys know where Meeting Creek is, anybody? Meeting Creek, Alberta? Okay, of course, yeah. Okay, yeah. I was driving in this beast. We were cruising, everything was good. We got the tunes going, my brother's hanging out. All of a sudden, it starts shaking. I'm like, what is going on? And the speedometer goes down. My gas pedal won't work. It just goes down and down and down. Pull the side of the road, and it won't start. It's trying to turn over. We can feel the fuel pump. It's going, but it just won't start. And brother, what were we doing? We didn't know what to do. We were praying. I actually phoned Catherine. Her parents live by there. She was busy. We phoned AMA. We phoned Jesse. He didn't live too far from there. Like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We're just, I don't know what to do. So we're kind of freaking out. What do we do? All of a sudden, we're like, okay, Lord, and it starts. Vroom, vroom, oh my goodness. And it's an hour to Jesse's house. He's a mechanic. He's a great brother. And we drive there. And the whole way for an hour, we prayed like crazy. We didn't even talk. It was probably the best prayer time I had in many months. So I was praying, Lord, help us. Lord, watch over us. Lord. We're just praying. And no word of lie, the moment we drive into Jesse and Chris's driveway, guess what happens? It dies. Prayer is powerful, eh? But unfortunately, we only really pray when we're in trouble. I did a message last year on this topic, and the tagline there was, pray when you're cruising as if you were crashing. That is, it's our hope as disciples of Jesus that we continually pray all the time, in good times and bad. Unfortunately, it's hard. For some reason we get every life is good, we get busy. But prayer is more than just a get me out of jail card or help me out card. If you look at the book of Acts, we see that one of the core elements of the early church was prayer. In the book of Acts, there's 28 chapters, and every single chapter, somebody's praying. In chapter 1, we see the church waited for the Holy Spirit. They were waiting in the temple praying, and the Holy Spirit came. In chapter 2, we just read, the disciples, the core of who they are is prayer. In chapter 8, Peter and John, two disciples of Jesus, they prayed for the believers in Samaria, and they too received the Holy Spirit. In chapter 13, while the leaders of the Antioch church were fasting and praying, the Lord commissioned two important people, Paul and Barnabas, to do mission work. And chapters 22, 20 to 26, this Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and he wrote this book in Thessalonians. He was imprisoned for sharing the gospel, and in prayer, he testified to Jesus before his enemies, the Jewish leaders, and the Sanhedrin, and the political powers of the time, Felix and King Agrippa. Prayer, prayer, prayer. The early church prayed without ceasing. It was central to who they were. I was listening to a Filipino preacher, and he's reflecting on this passage, and he explains prayer as this. And if you have your sheets, you can follow along. Unfortunately, the toner broke in the printer, or toner was out, so we couldn't do more. But if you can, write it down. But if you do have your notes, you can write this down. Prayer is both a thermometer and a thermostat for our faith. This is what I mean by this. In the book of Revelation 3:16, God compares our level of faith or our spiritual life to temperature, to heat. Now, if you are cold, that means you have no faith. You have little faith. If you're hot, that means you have a strong faith. Ooh, you're strong in the Lord. And if you're lukewarm, you're kind of in between. It's kind of, you have a little bit of faith there, but it's stagnant. It's not really doing anything. And this is actually the worst place to be. God says if you are lukewarm, he will spit you out of your mouth. Now, imagine you're cooking your favorite food, hot food. I'm Filipino. I love chicken adobo. You know, you're cooking it right. Got the right vinegar, the right soy sauce, a little bit of sugar, not too much sugar, not too much. A little bit of peppercorns in there, potatoes. Take the skin off the chicken. You got to make sure. Oh, sorry, I'm making you hungry now. You cook it up. It tastes good. You put it in the fridge. Who here loves to eat leftovers cold? Okay, a couple people. Who here loves to pick it out and warm it up again, boiling hot? It's like yesterday. Who likes it hot? Okay, right on. Who here likes it? You take it out of the fridge, you let it sit for 6 hours, and you're like, oh, I'm excited for this food. Oh, lukewarm, it's awesome. Who here likes that? Okay. No. Pizza? Okay, pizza. Well, think about adobo, it'll last forever, so you could do it. But anyway, most people, lukewarm is the worst place to be. In the same way, if our faith is in the between, it's not a good place. And your prayer life is like a thermometer, okay? When your faith is hot, you're praying like crazy. Who is boom, boom, praying like do-do-do-do-do. If your prayer life is cold, there's no prayer at all. Maybe on heart of God. And if your prayer life or your spiritual life, your faith is lukewarm, you pray, oh, yeah, I pray sometimes. Oh, I pray here and there. I pray, oh, yeah, sometimes, yeah, it's there, but yeah, it's in between. But also, prayer is like a thermostat. When we pray, when we devote ourselves to prayer, God in his grace and mercy can raise the level of our faith from cold or lukewarm to boiling hot. And today we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians to see the importance and the power of prayer in our spiritual lives, in our faith. And here's what I believe God wants us to know today. You can write this down if you have notes. Pray without ceasing, like God loves without failing. Pray without ceasing, like God loves without failing. God wants us to have this hot and vibrant prayer life. He wants us to be close and connected to him, to have great faith, to have this intimate relationship with him, and he has given us this tool of prayer to get close to him. Ultimately, God wants us to be like him. God loves, not because he has to, because that is who he is. In the same way, we don't pray because we have to, because God has created us to be in prayer, to have this continuous relationship with him as we continually receive and experience God's love for us through Jesus. And here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at what praying is, or praying without ceasing is, through 1 Thessalonians in two ways. Praying without ceasing is, one, praying without selfishness, and two, praying without laziness. And then we're going to turn to Jesus, how we can actually pray like this. Pray without ceasing, like God loves without failing. The first point, you can write this down. Praying without ceasing is praying without selfishness. Pray lives from Paul. They're actually commands from Paul, from God, which come from Jesus' command to love your neighbor, love each other, live at peace with each other. It says even warn the idle and the disruptive. That's actually an act of love. Warn them. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Never pay back wrong for wrong. And at the core of all this is selfishness. Selflessness, I should say. A desire to care for others before yourself. And this is so, so intrinsic to prayer. The word for prayer here in the Greek is very hard to say. So I'm not going to say it. Oh, okay, maybe I'll try. I've been practicing. And you need, the Dutch people, they got it better. They got that, you know, the growl. So it's prosuk oma. No, I didn't do very good. That's the word in Greek. And it's actually made from two different Greek words. And if you write this down, the word for prayer is from two words. One is pros and exomea. And the word pros means a shift in focus and a sense of closeness. Now, selfishness means that all your focus is on yourself. And you see the world, you see your problems in terms of who you are. And at the core of prayer is unselfishness. That is, praying is when you shift your focus from who you are to who God is. And pros literally means turning your face. It is shifting your focus away from you and who you are to who God is. Shifting your face towards God. And this is, I think this is what it means when 1 Thessalonians says to pray continually or pray without ceasing, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to pray every second of the day. Like, pray, pray, pray. And some people, they do that. It's called practicing the presence. And that's a very, very wonderful thing. But it doesn't just mean that. Rather, it means that our faith is to continually focus on God. That means everything of who we are, our desires, our hearts, our attitude, all we are is continually shifted and focused on God, who he is, rather than ourselves. And we see here in 1 Thessalonians that when we orient ourselves toward God, when our focus is on that, our whole lives change. When we do this, we always strive to do what is good for each other. We always rejoice. We pray without ceasing. We give thanks in all circumstances. When our orientation is towards God, it makes us care for others, love for others. It helps us to have joy even in hard times. And it makes us thankful. Now, this is the complete opposite of selfishness. Now, if praying without ceasing is not selfishness, then what is it? Praying without ceasing is praying with gratitude. This is our first application. You write this down. Pray with gratitude. It says in verse 18, in all things give thanks. And this is the exact opposite of selfishness. When you are selfish, your focus is on yourself and you feel entitled. You feel frustrated when things don't go your way. However, when you focus is on God, your natural response is gratitude. And you'll be able to give thanks in all situations. And when you are truly thankful, you will naturally love God and others. You will naturally want to pray. A practical thing that I do is something called the Acts Prayer. Have you guys heard about that before or used this before? I use it very often. Sometimes when we pray, we go to God, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. And if, especially when we're through hard times, our first thing is, we need something from you, Lord. And that's okay. However, true praying without ceasing is that gratitude. And this helps me to keep that in focus, to shift my focus away from me and my needs to who God is. So whenever time I pray, I use this kind of template. First is adoration. I set my focus on God, who he is. Lord, I praise you. You are so good. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. You are enough. You are the great healer. You are the provider. And then, in light of who God is, then I can understand myself a bit better. God is worthy, and we don't always measure up. We're not the center of the world. God is. And we come to God, we realize, wow, I'm not good, Lord. I don't deserve your love and mercy. But then, in the middle of the prayer, we have thankfulness. Lord, thank you that even though we didn't deserve your love, you still love us. You call us a child of God. Thank you for providing my needs. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. Thank you that you are always there, even when I doubt you. And then once you get through all that, finally you get to your needs. Finally, after you focus on God, you can come to him with this attitude of gratitude. And say, Lord, I need this. My family needs this. I come towards you. And this really helps me to keep my focus on God first. And also to have gratitude. And if you don't feel thankful, if you are stuck in this maybe these emotions of just pain and hardship, I encourage you to write down all the things God has done for you. Today, this month, in the last decade, write down all things and remember who God is. Remember how much God loves you. He has been watching over you since you were, even before you were born. Again, pros also means closeness. God is caring for you. We have much to be thankful for. He wants to be close to you. And as you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Pray without ceasing, like God loves you without failing. All right? Second point. Praying without ceasing is praying without laziness. Please, you can write this down. Pray without laziness. Verse 14, it says here, warn those who are idle. and disruptive. Now, the word idle here can mean undisciplined, disorderly, or he's just a slacker. You're not doing so much. Now, in the context of 1 Thessalonians, is the second coming of Jesus. In chapter 5, the one we're on, in verse 2, Paul talks about the day of the Lord. Now, it was this Jewish phrase in which is the idea of the Messiah or the Savior. He will come to invade history. And on that day, darkness and evil would all be defeated, and God's love and power and grace would reign. And Christians believe that this Savior was Jesus who came in the flesh, and he is coming a second time to fix all the messed up problems in this world, to make everything right again, and I can't wait. And in this context, Paul tells the church, don't be idle, don't be lazy. And he tells the church to warn people who are lazy, warn people who are not doing anything with their faith in this world. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, Paul warns everybody here and the mindset that we should have in this context of the second coming. He says here, so then, let us not be like the others who are asleep. Don't be sleeping in too much. Don't just slugging around, but let us be awake and be sober. Let's have a clear mind. Let's always be prepared. That's the mentality we should have. Apparently in 2 Thessalonians, the next book, people said, oh, Jesus is coming anyway. Let's not do anything. Let's give up work. Let's just, let's just wait around until he comes around. And Paul says, no, that is not the purpose of our time now. In fact, we should hold in regard those who are working so hard for the kingdom in the church. And this should also characterize our prayer life. Praying takes hard work. Now, when Paul says praying without ceasing, he doesn't just mean that he's always focused on God, which he is. He also means that he prayed a lot. He prayed a crazy amount. And the same, if you can see this in the way he used the word continually other places in the gospel. In Romans 1:9, he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I mention you in my prayers. That he is always praying for others. Always he wants to pray for others. Paul prayed for the church and his friends a lot. He was not lazy. Now, for me, my own prayer life, I used to be more of a spontaneous prayer. I didn't have much structure. Like, oh, I prayed when I wanted to. Prayed when I was walking, but it wasn't really much discipline. And then I was going to a Bible camp up by Whitney Lake, and there was a woman there who has this passion for prayer. And she wakes up every morning at 5 in the morning and prays for 2 hours. Every morning. And one day I was hanging out with her, and she, first time I saw her in a year, she's like, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm doing pretty well. How are you? And she's like, oh, I'm glad to hear that. I prayed for you every day. Can you imagine that? For me, one, that was an encouragement. I was like, this lady doesn't even know me that well. She prayed for me every day. Wow. Imagine maybe things in my life would have been crazier or harder if she wasn't there praying for me. But also, too, is a challenge. If she did that, why shouldn't I? If she has that passion, why shouldn't I also have that discipline? Okay? And we see this in the actually of the word of prayer. And this is the most common word of prayer I didn't mention earlier. But this pros is one part of prayer. The second part of prayer is, this is the Dutch part. Oh, exomea. No, I'm not going to try. Sorry. That's the second part of the prayer. And it means, you can write this down, to make your request and a vow backed by elaborate and sacrificial worship. Now, this word prayer was used often in the Greek culture, and they understood it in their own worship services. Now, whenever Paul would use the word prayer, the context of the Greek culture would be always in the back of people's minds. In that culture, before a prayer or a request was verbalized and offered to a Greek god, a commemorative altar was set up. And this is a very expensive beautiful thing. And then a thanksgiving offering was put on the altar, something that was important to them. This could be a goat, a ram, in our context, maybe the keys of your car, maybe your cell phone. Is a way that you're giving something of value to the God. And then such offerings of praise and thanksgiving were called votive offerings, as you were making a vow. That is, if you give me what I want, oh little God, I'll give you more of this stuff. It was kind of this pledge. And if that prayer, what you would say, you would vow, you were going to give it, and if that prayer was answered, you would come back and have this huge party. And you would give even more stuff to this God. And these were very elaborate and well-planned celebrations. It was this very significant event, and it was done in a serious and very grandiose and extravagant manner to demonstrate. The greater the outward presentation, the greater proof you had a grateful heart. And when, like I said earlier, when people heard the word prayer, all this would be in the back of their minds. Now, thankfully, through Jesus, we don't need an altar to pray to God. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, we are the temple of God. We don't have to go to a special place to pray and worship to God. And also, our sacrifices are a little bit different. In Romans 12:1, I love this chapter here, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Unlike back in the day, Paul says that we are a living sacrifice. That means all of us. Our daily lives, our eating, our sleeping, our working, our money, our time, all our offerings to God. Every bit of us. Everything should orient and focus on the living God. And this doesn't mean that we give any less discipline or effort or devotion or sacrifice in our prayers as the Greeks did. In a way, we should give more. Because we're not just giving our keys on the altar, not just giving some money on the altar, we're giving our whole lives on the altar. Lord, everything I am is yours. It's a sacrifice to you. And that means, this is the second application, that we should pray with discipline. Now, it's wonderful to pray spontaneously. When the Spirit leads. However, it's essential that we put work into our prayer life. The root word of disciple is discipline. It's hard work, but it is so, so worth it. God is worthy. Worthy of our time. Worthy of our finances. Worthy of our lives. Worthy of hurt knees as we go down to pray. And I encourage you, set up a time. Be intentional. Set up a time every week or even every day to pray to God. Try praying for 10 minutes. Try maybe once a week, pray for half an hour. Maybe a month, pray an hour. At Mosaic House, we are still sending out soul food for you, have devotions and times of prayer. Use that as a tool to help you pray more and more. And also, we must pray as a church. This is so, so important. And I encourage you, if you have not joined a house church already, please consider it as we come together like the apostles in Acts 2 and we pray together. We come to God in prayer. At South also, we pray as a campus, and every Thursday night there is prayer, and you can talk to Amika if you're interested in that. We come together and pray and worship the Lord God together. At East Campus, where I'm kind of hang out, we pray every Friday at 6:30 in the morning. Let me say that again. Friday at 6:30 in the morning. And it is a sacrifice, okay? You lose sleep. You're cranky sometimes. But honestly, the little that I sacrifice, I get way more in return. And that's not the point of prayer, but it's just a reality. I feel refreshed. I feel stronger. My thermometer is going up. I feel alive. Just when you do that little sacrifice to God. And also, Paul reminds us, pray for others when we are struggling. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Pray for each other daily. Make a list. We've been doing heart at Mosaic House Church, praying for those, but pray for everybody. Make a list of everybody in your life and pray for them often. This is how I do. You don't have to do this way, but every day I have a different, I guess, set of friends or people I pray for. Mondays is my pray for my family. Tuesday is for my close friends. Wednesday is for people who are marginalized in society, those living in poverty and homelessness. Thursday is for leaders, political leaders, church leaders, world leaders. Friday's for the church, and Saturday's for myself. You got to pray for yourself too. Whatever you want to do, have some kind of structure so that you will pray. Pray without ceasing, like God loves without failing. Now, in the view of this idea of prayer, one pastor gives a summary of what prayer truly is based on this Greek word. And you can write this down. Prayer is when we come face to face with God and surrender your life in exchange for His. And maintain an attitude of consecration as our focus is always on God, always on who He is, as an ongoing part of your life. And be sure to give Him thanks in advance for moving on your behalf. Basically, praying without ceasing is praying without selfishness, praying without laziness, but it's praying with gratitude and with discipline. Now, this is a tall order, isn't it? It's not always easy. But Paul said it's a command from God. It's not an option. We have to do it. It is God's will for us. Prayer is this thermometer and thermostat of our faith. And God commands us to trust in Him, to have faith in Him, to pray. Now, who here feels like they have this vibrant and perfect prayer life? Who here feels a little guilty, maybe, that they don't have the best prayer life? Yeah, me too. Well, there's good news, okay? This is the good news of Jesus. Not only can we pray without ceasing like God loves without failing, but we pray without ceasing because God loves without failing. You see the difference? Not only does God expect us to become like Him and pray for Him and pray to Him, He has provided the way for us to do this, to become like Him through Jesus. And honestly, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, is in verse 23, and let me read it for you today as a blessing. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen? Paul commands us, pray without ceasing, do all this. But then he says, God, the God of peace, the God of love, He is working in you, and He will do it. Worry about it. God Himself will keep us blameless. You know the story of the gospel. Because of our sin, we could not pray without ceasing. In fact, our face was always turned away from God, and our focus was always on ourselves and our desires and to the things which gave us what we want. And we became slaves to sin. We became addicted to ourselves, to money, to pleasure, to power, whatever it was. And God could have sentenced us to death that we deserve because we always rejected God. We always turned away from Him. He could have rejected us, but instead, He loved us. He loves you. And He sent His Son Jesus to save us. And we still were so twisted from our sin, and we turned away from God. We killed Jesus. We killed His Son. And God could have still rejected us. But He loved us. He used Jesus' death. Jesus accepted death and God as a payment for our sins. What a thing to be grateful for. But even more, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus, 3 days later, defeated sin and death, and now He is coming back to set all things right. And now all of those who believe in Him are caught up in His resurrection. in his power. And in this verse, he says, Jesus now sanctifies us. And that word sanctify comes from the word saint, and it's related to holiness. It means two things. One, it means that God now considers us holy and without sin. That is, because of Jesus' sacrifice, God doesn't see our sin anymore. God sees Jesus' blood, which cleanses us. Jesus took that which we deserved, and now we consider holy in God's sight and set apart for a special purpose. And then number two, it means that God is now purifying us right now to become more and more like him. He is making us holy. He is transforming us this very moment. And because of God's unfailing love, we are being transformed to be like Jesus. Now our whole focus can be on God. We can set our face towards God. And God now is transforming us from the inside out, sanctifying us through and through. Pray without ceasing because God loves without failing. Again, pros means a shift in focus and a sense of closeness. And now through Jesus, we have this intimate relationship with God. We can see God face to face. We can know him, and he will strengthen us when it's hard to pray. Like I mentioned earlier, we are the temple of God, and God's Holy Spirit now lives in us. Romans 8 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. And now verse 19 in 1 Thessalonians says, do not quench the Spirit. The image is, the Holy Spirit is like this fire inside of you. The hottest fire that you can imagine. It's burning so powerful and bright. It's way off this faith thermometer. It's out of this world. And now we don't have to, I gotta make stronger faith. Come on, faith, be strong. It's already burning in you. Just don't quench it. Don't put it out. It's not up to us. The powers of God's Spirit. You have the faith already. Just don't quench it. Don't put it out. Just keep in this constant and intimate and loving relationship with the living God, and he will keep you strong. He will keep you hot because he loves you. He wants you to be free from sin and death. He wants you to use you in his kingdom to have this vibrant relationship with him. And Paul commands us to pray without ceasing, not in a sense of pray without ceasing or else. We can write this down, but it's an invitation. Pray without ceasing because that is who you are in Christ. God doesn't love us because he has to, because that is who he is. In a similar way, we pray because that is who we are meant to be. And through the resurrected Jesus, through the Holy Spirit living inside us, we can pray without ceasing, without selfishness, without laziness. We can pray with gratitude and discipline always because that is who we are now. Pray without ceasing like God loves without failing because that is who we are meant to be. Let me end with one story. The danger of a sermon like this is that after today, you will try really hard to get better at prayer. And that is awesome. Working hard is great, but we must rely on God's strength, not on ourselves. When we try to improve our prayer life on ourselves, we are actually shifting our focus away from God to ourselves, to us working hard. And it's not about trying to be better, but it's setting our focus always on God, who promises to sanctify us. Now, this is a picture of actually my prayer journal. I have really bad spelling that says hummingbird and eagle, okay? So don't judge me, okay? And last year during our prayer time at East Campus, I was really, really asking God, Lord, help me to be a better disciple of you. Help me to just do better, to pray more, to be better, to do better. And the image I got was the top one. There's my heart there. I got these little hummingbird feathers going on, hummingbird wings. And I am trying so hard, Lord, I'm going to do better. Oh, come on, bro, come on, wings, go, go, come on. And I was, oh, come on, I could do this, come on. And then God brought me to Isaiah 40. And it says here, but those who hope in the Lord, before this it says, those who, we all get tired, we all got weary, even young men will get weary. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And God told me, why are you focused on your hummingbird wings? Don't you know you got eagle wings too? Don't you know my spirit is with you? Stop trying to focus on, oh, come on. Look up and focus on the Spirit. I am with you. I am strong enough. I am faithful and I will do it. Focus on me and my strength, my power, not your own. Okay? And that's my encouragement to you today. Set your focus on God. Don't focus on prayer. Don't focus on being better. Focus on God, his strength, his power. And it's really, really tricky to sometimes know when we're focusing ourselves and when we're focusing God. So we need each other. So pray with each other. Hold each other accountable in house church. Be honest with each other on your struggles. And focus on God. Let me end with just verse 23 again. I just love this so much. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Let's try that again. Let's try again, okay? If you know, if you, when I say, this is the word of the Lord, say, thanks be to God, as if you mean it. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, I didn't fall. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we adore you. You are worthy, you are holy, you are awesome and powerful. You are love. And Lord, we come before you, Lord, today in confession, knowing that we haven't believed that. We haven't relied on your strength and fire and your wings. We've turned our face from you. So Lord, we come before you, Lord. We want to shift our face to you. And we thank you that in Jesus, we are forgiven. And in Jesus, we are empowered now to be in communion with you. And you've given us this church to become better disciples of you. And you are transforming us through and through. And you are faithful. We thank you, Lord. And finally, we give our ask of you, Lord. Help us to draw closer to your heart. Help us to strengthen our prayer life in you, Lord. To be disciplined, to have gratitude, so that you may use us for your kingdom. We trust you, Lord. We give our lives to you as a living sacrifice. It's all yours. We surrender. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.